Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hi, can I ask you what you're doing?
I'm preparing vegetables for sandwiches.
We finished the onions, now we're on the tomatoes.
But come at.
Essen.
Ma to sa?
Mechina sandwichim.
This is the biggest pile of chuma, which is a spread made of hot peppers and garlic and olive oil that I've ever seen in my life. I don't know if you understand, this is about 40 kilos of that, and that's some spicy stuff. So I hope the soldiers are like spicy food.
How many tomatoes have you cut?
Wow, I think maybe 5,000, I don't know.
What do you do in normal times?
Teaching math for students.
And how did you think of volunteering here?
I felt bad with myself that I am doing nothing to help. And then I searched for all kinds of volunteering. And I like this coffee, Meshe Caffeine, and I wanted to make something nutritious for the soldiers, not only junk food. So I like the idea.
Hey listeners, it's Mishi. So as you know, during these incredibly difficult days, we're trying to bring you voices we're hearing among and around us. These aren't stories, they're just quick conversations, or postcards, really, that try to capture slivers of life right now. We're obviously not the only ones doing this kind of work. Go to our website, israelstory.org, for a list of other projects collecting wartime stories and testimonies. You know, what fills me and many, many others with hope during these dark times is, of course, the way in which Israeli civil society has risen to the occasion. Tens and hundreds of thousands of ordinary people of every possible social group have dropped everything and are, each in his or her own way, big or small, trying to pitch in, to volunteer, to help. Yesterday we heard from Ofir Tamir, who came down from Nahalal in the north to Kibbutz Kisufim on the border with Gaza in order to evacuate cows. And today, we'll hear from 44-year-old Hidai Ofaim, a chef, a farmer, and a truly inspiring social entrepreneur.
Okay, hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Can you introduce yourself?
Sure. My name is Hidai Ofaim. I'm one of the founders and co-owners of the Ofaim Model Farms for Sustainable Agriculture. We grow from seed to table, anything between free-range organic eggs to dairy products of organic goats, fruit, vegetables. We make our own jams, olive oils, honey, and everything. And we also own the farm stores and the farm cafes and restaurants in which we sell our produce.
And where are we now?
Right now, we are in one of our locations in Jerusalem. It is called the Hansen House, which was a leper's colony about 150 years ago. And we operate a cafe and a farm shop in it, as well as a bar. This is one of our larger locations, so we are currently operate it as a relief kitchen, as a relief center for families of victims, for families of kidnapped, for soldiers in the front, medical teams, volunteers, and anyone who needs fresh, healthy food from this operation. Supported by almost 750 volunteers, a lot of people who are bringing in anything from onions to money to support the effort. And we've been doing it from October 8th, so meaning from Sunday, right after the war broke. I woke up on Saturday morning from the sirens, waking up my kids and going down to the bomb shelter that we have in our house. At the beginning, we thought it was just, another harassment. But slowly, because we have a lot of friends in the area of that surrounds Gaza, we started to understand what's going on. at 11, I already called the unit. Nobody answered me, my army unit. I discovered after that they were all involved in the fighting because they are a reconnaissance unit. So immediately they were the first ones to arrive at the fighting area. And unfortunately, we lost 6 members of my army unit in the first couple of hours. And then I started calling anyone I know and I said, I'm coming. Where should I come? And they said, wait home. And then they said, we have so many younger and more trained people than you at this point.
And you were disappointed that you weren't called up for reserve duty?
You know, when a war effort begins or when there's an attack, you immediately think of the first thing needed, which is immediate protection. And immediate protection is with the army or with security forces. I was a soldier for quite a long time in an elite reconnaissance unit, and I was an officer, and I served over 6 years to begin with, and then reserves all those years. I have since stopped doing reserves because I got older and I was less needed. And I also, in the daily life in Israel, I did not feel comfortable with a lot of my, or not feel comfortable is an understatement. I opposed a lot of what my government has done on my behalf with regards to controlling another people and with regards to the efforts that were made not in the right direction, not in the direction of peace. But then again, the minute something like this happened, which is so immediate, which is so straightforward, which is so black and white, you know, I do not have any equivalence. I do not have any symmetry in this. I do not see them as freedom fighter. I do not. This is pure fundamentalistic ideology and evil. Then I would do anything needed to protect my immediate family. It's my immediate circle of friends. It's my immediate community. So I was hoping to be recruited. But then I decided I'll pull my weight somewhere else. And I do feel that currently what we are doing probably at least equals what I would have done in the army had I gone. So Sunday early morning, we just came into our shops and restaurants and started taking out all of the things that we already had prepared and packed them and processed them and send them to soldiers just as a grassroots initiative. And we started really with our own team who all just jumped in to volunteer. And then we understood we're going to need infrastructure. So we built a volunteer organization and we have an NGO to collect funds, et cetera, et cetera. And we're building it day by day, hopefully not for long. I have to say that like us, there are hundreds and thousands of initiatives, and we all work together. The level of sympathy and of collegiality between the organizations and between the people, who some of them I've known for many years, but many of them are from a completely different section of the Israeli society. These are people that I wouldn't have met in any other way. Everybody's doing something, and we just know that we need to pull our own weight. Nobody else is going to do it for us. We are the state. It's not. There isn't a state and us. There isn't a government and us. We are not here to wait to be served. But then again, we are only making food. People need weapons. People need shelters. People need humanitarian support. People need psychological support. We are the fuel, but we are not the essence. And we all work together.
And where is the food going?
Almost everywhere, starting with evacuated communities, which are dislocated into hotels or villages across the country, families that are sitting Shiva, that are mourning, or families of hostages that are kept together in hotels or different. A lot of it is going to soldiers and reserve soldiers around Gaza and in the northern border, and a lot is going to volunteers that are doing days and nights in Magen David Adom hospitals, civil society volunteers that are operating a lot of the first command rooms, aid organizations. So we try and send everybody. We have demand which is 3 times or 4 times more than we can even produce.
How much are you producing?
We're producing about 10,000 meals a day.
And what is a meal?
A meal would be anything from, you know, couscous with fish balls and vegetables and a salad and tahini and what's not. There's a lot of sandwiches, healthy, big, nutritious sandwiches that also we send with some, you know, baked goods and pastries, etc. So it depends what they need and where they are.
And do you hear back from the people eating the food?
Yes, constantly. We get, I can show you on my cell phone, it's ridiculous. People are very, very heart-warmed by this and grateful. And we feel that this is the... Look, we're doing it for two reasons. One, people need to be fed. But not less importantly, people need to make food. We need this at least as much as the people to whom we send the food needs this. You know, the rabbi from Kotsk said, words that comes out of the heart gets into the heart of others, but especially into the heart of those who said them. So when we send something, when it echoes in the messages we get back from the people who received them, it works back on our heart. And that's the story, I think.
Can you show me inside?
Of course. Yeah, so right now we're in the main hall, which usually serves as the cafe. So these are the cafe tables that everybody is gathered around. You see about 30 people right now in here, and then there's more in the kitchen and more in the packing room and more in the sorting of the produce that arrives. This group is making a vegetable salad, fresh tomatoes and cucumbers and onions and mint leaves and what's not with olive oil and lemon. This group is making sandwiches with organic goat cheese. This group over there is making fricassé, which is a Tunisian sandwich with tuna and eggs and pickled lemons, etc. It's the food that I would make my children. This guy, by the way, is a almost doctor. He's finishing his medical school, well, right now. And because he's in between shifts, they didn't need him at the hospital. And he came back here. He was a chef here. He was a cook here when he was a student some 5 or 6 years ago. And he just immediately, he just showed up and said, I'm in the kitchen, whatever is needed. And he's here 18 hours a day. And so many are like him. People have left homes, have left schools, have left work.
And everyone is a volunteer?
Every single one. Every single one.
It's incredible.
It is, you know what? It's what I would have expected. It's incredible and expected at the same time. We are an incredible people.
Uday, how can people get involved?
Volunteering is always good, but we do have many working hands, as you can see. I think the best way at this point is by funding it, is by supporting it with money. Each meal costs about 10 shekels, which is roughly $2.50-$3. And any dollar helps, any shekel helps. So if anybody wants to join the effort, we'll put a link maybe in
sure.
And then people can just donate from there.
של משק עזר, ככה היא כתב בדוח, כל ההשקעה של צלובה. קשקה לזמן ארוך.
רק אל תעשה לי ברוך, אור הכרוב ואור הטלת עגבניה לכידון, אור הנחל מסחררת אור החסה אור הצלות, אור הטנק רתום לפרד אור הסיירי הטור, אור הנחל מסחררת אור ההאחזות.
ראשי קרובים, אין רחס, הוא עליו
מגרש קנטר,
שורות, עובר מלחש,
ההאחזות חמש חמש,
יוכי יחה חמש.
אור הכרוב ואור הטרת עגבניה לכידון, אור הנחל מסחררת אור החסה אור הצלות, אור הטנק רתום לפרד אור הסיירי הטור, אור הנחל מסחררת
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.